Special hearing, could we have a roll call, please?
Bill Goggins. Laura Hine.
Here.
John Kapler.
Here.
Betsy Pringle.
Here.
Elsie Weber.
Here.
Rick Whitney.
Here. And I'm not sure what there's Bill. We lost him on the way from the other meeting room. Okay, so we have on our agenda tonight a public hearing for the Kirkland Children's School Master Plan, which will be followed up by, well, that will be all that we'll have for this meeting. Following this meeting, then once the hearing is concluded, there'll be a special meeting where we will conduct some other business and also deliberate on the recommendation for the little school. And so with that, I would like to, I hope everybody who wants to testify has signed up. There's a sign-up sheet up there. And the only thing I do ask is that if your point's been made sufficiently by, you know, somebody ahead of you, we don't want to hear 20 people tell us the exact same thing. You know, we were open to, you know, as much input as possible, but we don't want to get the same repetitive statements. So with that, I think.
And also, if you'd just like to be part of the public record and not speak, make sure you sign the document and then you're part of the public record.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah, absolutely. That does put you on notice. So with that, I'm going to turn this meeting over to our capable hearing examiner.
Okay. Well, let's see. What do I need to tell you? It's a public hearing. You've already covered the sign-up sheet. All testimony is taken under oath or affirmation. The hearing examiner's recommendation to the council on this matter is due 8 days after I receive the recommendation from the Houghton Community Council. That usually happens fairly quickly, so the turnaround time is pretty quick. Please begin your testimony by stating your name and spelling your name, if you usually need to do that for the record, and also your address. You can submit written testimony if you want to and not speak, and we'll follow the format that's in the hearing examiner rules. First, we'll hear the report and recommendation of the department. Then we'll hear a testimony from the applicant. That'll be followed by public testimony, where you can either speak or ask questions or both. And then following that, there'll be an opportunity for both the applicant and the department to have further information that they, if they have further information they want to give or answer questions, they can do so. Any procedural questions before we get started? All right. Mr. Levitt, would you raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you will give in this proceeding will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Tony Levitt, representing the planning department. Also, we have other city staff here. Rob Jammerman from the Public Works Department and Nancy Cox from the planning department are also here to answer questions. Also at this time, I'd like to enter into the record three emails that I've received since the drafting of the staff report. I have copies for all council members and the hearing examiner.
Okay. Since you have stapled those, I'm going to make them one exhibit. That'll be Exhibit B. The staff report is Exhibit A.
Just a brief overview of the process again. Staff has issued a staff recommendation in the form of a staff report for consideration by the Houghton Community Council and the hearing examiner. Tonight we will conduct a joint hearing. After all testimony is taken here to close, the Community Council will open a special meeting and prepare its recommendation to the hearing examiner. Hearing examiner will then make a recommendation based on the hearing record and the Community Council recommendation. This recommendation, along with any filed challenges, will be sent to the City Council for a decision on the application. If the City Council approves the application, that approval is not effective until a majority of the Houghton Community Council vote by resolution to approve or deny the application. And for the actual application, Steve Lee of Studio Ming Sturzara, representing the Kirkland Children's School, property owner and business owner, has applied for a master plan zoning permit to allow construction of a new building and associated improvements on the existing Kirk and Children's School site. The new building will total 3,400 square feet. The building will house three new classrooms for the preschool, daycare, environmental education program, restroom facilities, and storage areas. The project also includes other in-site improvements, including the addition of 9 parking stalls, a rain garden, parking lot lighting, and landscaping. The existing buildings, totaling around 67,500 square feet, and 6,750 square feet, and parking lot stalls, 23 stalls on the property will remain. So here's a site plan submitted by the applicant. You can see the existing buildings down here on the southern portion of the property. The new building is the blue, located here kind of right in the middle of the property. Additionally, these are rain gardens that will be installed as part of the stormwater management. Additionally, there will be 9 parking stalls installed in this area for the expanded use of the facility. And there is no proposal to modify or to basically do any changes to the existing buildings on the south edge of the property. During the initial public comment period, the planning department received a total of 28 comment emails and letters during this time. A majority of the comments were in support of the project. Two of the letters brought up issues including impacts to the adjacent alley, sight lighting, parking, and traffic, and playground noise. Staff has addressed these issues in the report, and the applicant also provided a response to one of the letters that is included with the report. A determination of non-significance was issued for the project on September 10th of 2012. The project passed traffic concurrency on December 23rd of 2011, and there were no appeals of the CEPA determination or the traffic concurrency. Staff has reviewed the proposal for compliance with applicable development regulations as outlined in Section 2F of the staff report. I'll go over a few of the key regulations and staff conclusions. So first, a school is required to be located on an arterial street or an existing site. This proposal meets both of those requirements. 108th is an arterial, and obviously we have an existing school that's on the property. Staff has also recommended, as I mentioned earlier, there are some non-conformances on the site, including the existing buildings and the parking lots. Both of those do not meet current setback requirements. As noted in the staff report, the original buildings were, I believe, constructed in the mid-40s, and this site has been a school since approximately 1970. And so staff is recommending that because the applicant is not proposing any changes to those structures allowed to be remain in their current site location. The applicant is also limiting the height of the structure to 15 feet to comply with an applicable requirement. The requirement is either the height of the structure be limited to 15 feet or the width be limited to 50 feet. And so the applicant has chosen to limit the height of the new structure to 15 feet. Staff is recommending that a pasture loading area not be required due to the requirement the parents sign in and out their children inside the school. Typically our schools, and just to kind of go back, this regulation applies to all schools, no matter what type of school it is, either elementary school, middle school, or preschool. And so staff is recommending, because the state requires that parents come in and out when they drop off their children, that a drop-off area just doesn't make sense on this site. And finally, staff is recommending the planting of additional trees to fill in the required buffer and tree retention as required by Chapter 95. Let's go back here just a little bit. Staff is recommending there's this area up here that is a little barren of trees, existing trees. So we're just recommending that I believe 5 total trees be planted in this area just to kind of help strengthen up that buffer. The zoning code states that a Process 2B master plan application may be approved only if it is consistent with applicable development regulations, and to the extent there's no regulation, the comprehensive plan, and is consistent with public health, safety, and welfare. As outlined in the staff advisory reports, staff concludes that the proposed master plan is consistent with all applicable development regulations and the comprehensive plan. In addition, the proposal is consistent with public health, safety, and welfare because the project will provide the community with an expanded school while minimizing impacts on the surrounding neighborhood. So to summarize, staff is recommending approval of the application subject to the conditions outlined in the staff advisory report. Those conditions deal with tree retention, as I mentioned, additional landscaping, and other minor conditions. So that concludes my presentations. Are there any questions for staff?
Any questions? Elsie?
Yeah, I think you're the right person to ask this, Tony. Do you know how many students are currently registered with the school? And then the second part of that is, what is the maximum number of students that both the buildings can accommodate when the project is finished?
Okay. Actually, I don't know the exact numbers on that. That would probably be a good question for the applicants to respond back
okay,
with
well maybe
during their presentation.
The next two are probably better for the applicant then, too.
Okay.
Thanks, Tony.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
I was trying to find on page 47, there's a reference to an enclosure note number 2, and I don't know if I'm just missing something and flipping through pages or if I really am not finding it here. And it's the letter from Gary
Porter
referring to the
alley. Yeah, it was
alley.
Basically all it was he had taken the vicinity map and kind of just drew the area he was talking about, and I can actually show you the area he was talking about. So this is the alley that he was mentioning right here, and then this is the portion of the where the fence comes in over into the alley. So it was just basically the vicinity map that I send out with our noticing.
Yeah.
Okay. That just did that on.
So you said something about requesting the city open the alley as shown.
Mm-hmm.
Was that something that he showed on there, or?
Well, he just basically drew in that area.
Openness.
I think he was referring to the portion, basically, like I say, the alley is open
can
to
you
about,
zoom in on that a little bit more? So we can,
yeah.
I'm kind of zooming out.
The alley doesn't go all the way through anymore.
Right, that's what I was surmising.
Okay. So when I walked it, actually, the alley is open to about right here.
Oops.
Okay. I'll have to figure out what's going on here. But it's opened about almost to the property line. It's not improved at all. It's
so it's open from the 53rd Street?
You can't get in there from 53rd. I tried.
No.
Okay.
You cannot get in there from the south. It's
okay,
only
so that's what I was trying to figure out is where is the closed part, and is it,
so
is it what you were showing isn't adjacent to the school. It's actually on somebody else's property.
Correct.
That's what I was trying to get a better understanding of.
This is continuously zooming out.
It's the computer gremlins.
Tony, can I say something while you're looking
sure.
there?
Yeah.
The alley is public property. It's not private. Does the school have a written agreement with the city of Kirkland to have their fence back into the alley?
Okay. Actually, that issue I'll have Rob address.
Yes. Is that a right hand? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you will give in this proceeding will be the truth?
I do.
Go ahead.
Thanks for the question about the alley. We in Kirkland, we have many unopened alleys, rights of ways, and they're unopened and unimproved rights of ways, and they automatically revert back to the adjacent property owner until such time as the city opens those rights of ways for utility or street purposes. So it's quite common in Kirkland for people to place a fence in the center of an unopened alley right-of-way, and any dispute of that alley right-of-way is a civil matter between the two adjacent property owners.
So is that the same as I put a fence up and take 2 feet of my neighbor's yard, And after 10 years, that property becomes mine? Is that the same with their fence?
That would be adverse possession. You can't claim adverse possession on a public property.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. I got a better vicinity map here. But this is what it was pointing to. It basically, so as you go down this alley, this improved, just only paved for that portion, you go down, it's gravel, to about right there, and then it's overgrown, and then right here is where the fence is, and then down to the south, it's you can't really tell.
So the fence is a fence that runs north-south in the alley, and just north of there, it not adjacent to their property, but just north of there, there's also some obstruction, and the only place that it's accessible from is the 55th Street, is what
correct.
You're saying?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. It's not accessed from
55th. Thanks for making that clearer.
Yes.
Any other questions? Okay.
Thank you. Who's going to be speaking first for the applicant? Okay, come on up.
Hi. Tony, I don't know how to use this microphone. So,
would you raise your right hand, please? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you will give in this proceeding will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead. State your name.
Donna Caditz.
Spelled?
C-A-D-I-T-Z.
I-D-C?
I-T-Z.
I-T-Z. Okay.
Thanks.
Address?
16310 170th Avenue Northeast, Woodinville.
Zip?
98072.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I'm really looking forward to speaking to you, but I know we have one family here that they've got a really young child at home, and they're here to speak on behalf of the school, and I wonder if it's possible for them to have a quick word with you first, then they can go home and take care of their little boy. And we have many other families here too, but if that's comfortable for you, then I'd like to do that. If not, I'll carry on with what I want you to know.
Well, there are probably others who have the similar situation, so if I took some of the public testimony now, I feel like I'd need to take it all.
All right. Okay. Well, that's understandable, but thank you for entertaining the idea. Okay. All right. Well, I'll just start in then. So, as I said, my name is Donna Caditz, and I'm the executive director of Kirkland Children's School. And my mother and father founded this school way back when I was little. And now the school's been there on this same site serving Houghton for 42 years. And so we've been a part of Houghton for 42 years. That's why we have the location that we do. The whole community has grown up around us. The 108th has gotten wider in front of us, and we've been a wonderful part of this community as the community's been developing. So when it first started, we were called the Farm School. So for those of you who know us as the Farm School, it's still us. And it was called the Farm School because we were painted all red, and we had animals. It was great. We had a donkey named Jupiter. We had pigs. We had chickens. We had geese. And that was part of the neighborhood school. And that fit in and served the community of Houghton 42 years ago. But we all know Houghton has grown and changed, and we've grown and changed along with the community. And we have been supportive of the community, and the community has been supportive of us. So when families move into the neighborhood of Houghton, a lot of them care about, well, what's the neighborhood preschool in Houghton? They want to feel connected to Houghton, and they want to go to the neighborhood school. So they call up now Kirkland Children's School, and they find out that we have a very long waiting list, that it takes about 2 years to get into our school. Sooner, not as much time if you already have an older brother or older sister in the school. So, wow. Why does it take two plus years to get into our school? And the reason is we care about the neighborhood, and we're very thoughtful about how we treat the neighborhood children. We're very interested in the whole child. We take time to really nurture their intellectual development, but we care a lot about their social development and their emotional development, and we spend time connecting them to nature, and that's also one of the signatures of our school. If you ever get around to see us, we've got beautiful grounds, and we are totally devoted to wildlife and to the natural life that's appropriate for the neighborhood of Houghton. No more donkeys, but we do hope for butterflies and birds. And so the people in the neighborhood are interested in going to our school, and because they want to be part of the community in part. So we're wondering, what does make a community, and why do we have a community? And I could say that we all know community is more than a collection of houses. A community is a place where people come and they interact and they have common values. And our parents really love to come to a community school and meet other people that are very enmeshed in the community. And you can see that they know from their birthday parties and from the parents that are walking to the neighborhood, that the teachers that walk to the school, that they're all part of something. And we've been helping become part of the fabric and the glue together of Houghton for 42 years. And yes, we've evolved, and we're proud of the directions that we're evolving and to the connection of that. And we're proud of being a community. And we are called Kirkland Children's School, but maybe we could kind of be Houghton Children's School in a way, kind of facetiously, because that is, in large part, the neighborhood that we serve. But how else do we serve the community? Because we are really part of making a place for kids. And so one of the ways that we've served and been involved in the neighborhood is that, I need to stop. I got so excited to tell you about this that I forgot to introduce my team. It just occurred to me. So I've got Rachel McCulloch. She's our brilliant, hardworking, and innovative director. And we've got Spring Vitus. She's our office manager and enrollment. Enrollment director, and you'll see why I'm introducing her in a minute. And then we've got Steve Lee, he's our architect. We've got Pete, who's whose family members have been attending our school for several years, and we've got Paul likewise. And of course Cheryl, our assistant director, and many wonderful families. But I want to refer to now the Houghton Neighborhood Comprehensive Plan. And so two of our staff members, as representing our school, served for 9 months on developing the vision for the Houghton neighborhood. They were there at the meetings. They got great insight so that we can continue to be an active part of the Houghton neighborhood, and also so that the Houghton neighborhood could hear about our values, which is friendliness for the neighborhood and connection with nature and a good place for children. We want to make sure that Houghton's always a good place for children. And so that was part of our community service. Another part of our, doesn't really feel like service, it just feels like who we are. So we have, we are the main host for the Eastside Audubon Society. They do their main yearly fundraiser, their native plant sale on our grounds, and we open it up to the community. We hope everyone in the community comes, and we post around flyers, please come to Kirkland Children's School, buy a plant. It will support the Audubon Society. So we've got, and then also we have a chance to have the plants up close, and we can make selections for our yard, and we hope that our parents come and support native plants. And another thing that's really important in terms of like community is having beautiful neighborhood parks for children and for all the little creatures of which we are a part, like butterflies. So our staff was involved in helping create and plan the butterfly garden at Carillon Point. We were involved with that, and our school name is on the plaque right there. Oops, I should look up here. So there you can see pictures of the Houghton Community Garden. You can see our East Side Audubon Cell. You can see our playground there. And we also are a certified backyard wildlife habitat. We were the first, as far as we know, the first preschool in Kirkland to become a certified wildlife habitat. And we love to participate, and we had a big wildlife ceremony. And we helped make Kirkland be represented in the register of certified wildlife habitats. We also have annual food drives as part of the community. So we feel like we're part of the community, and we aren't meeting the community needs as much as we used to, because, as I say, we have this enormous waiting list. And so how can we do that? And we thought, well, maybe we'll just grow, and then we'll meet that need. So our f- first idea was, well, let's just start with a brand new building. Wouldn't that be awesome? So we tried. We gave it some effort, but we found that the new building was going to be just not what the neighborhood wanted. I mean, the neighborhood really wants something really quite attractive. We want to get something to the neighborhood that's going to be on the residential scale. And we heard from the comprehensive plan that the neighborhood was telling us that they wanted to have cottage-like feel. They didn't want to have a corridor feel. They wanted something that would enhance the neighborhood, and that's what we wanted to do. And as we were asking around, we heard people, oh, they like our little building. Oh, that makes us feel good. They like our building, and we like our building too. So what we thought we would do, and also with the way it was with replacing the entire building, we were going to have to give up the playgrounds that we just cherish, and we thought there's got to be a better way. So we just threw out that plan, and that was sort of a big thing. But then also, and also like the neighborhood, we have well attending the Houghton Neighborhood Council, which is different than this council. There's a whole neighborhood council. And so, well, once more, we're going back and listening to them. We attend there quite a bit. And so we told them that we were now going to be developing a plan that was going to allow us to keep our building and allow us to keep our gorgeous playgrounds and just add 3 classrooms. And that would meet the community needs. It would allow us to not entirely answer our waiting list, but it would allow us to meet those community needs and allow our school to expand. And so our proposal then is 1 building. It's in your packet. It's about 3,400 square feet. So they're nice, lovely classrooms that have big windows that look out on the backyard. Steve, can we have the other picture?
Can you flip to the other presentation?
I wish I did. I really do.
Large classrooms,
and
this screen that you see?
Oh, thanks, Tony. So these classrooms here, they've the big windows, this is the back, and it'll face onto our playground. And the children, they can look out the window, be light-filled classrooms. They'll be seeing lots of native plants, and it'll be an opportunity, and other kinds of plants of interest, plants that children can learn from, and plants that we can enjoy. And then from the other side, do I go the other way?
Yeah.
How do I go the other way?
Oh. Click on the arrow on the keyboard. Just go back.
That's more of the view that will be seen from the street. And so when people go, when people are walking by, they'll see our really elaborate rain garden. We really thought we didn't want a skimpy rain garden. We have a lot of really beautiful plants in our rain garden. We have a deluxe rain garden. And so they'll see that, and we think it will be quite a very beautiful presentation for the neighborhood to see, and a good place to carry on neighborhood community. And so that's what I have to say about our school expansion, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Elsie.
I'm going to ask you what I asked Tony.
Oh, sure.
I'd
be happy to
answer
that.
Or not.
Sure.
How many students are you currently registered? And then after you get the new building, what is going to be the maximum number of students that both buildings can accommodate?
Well, is a good question. So we have approximately 100 kids, but they're not all there at any one time because some kids come 3 days a week, you know, some mornings, not too many, just afternoons. So it's all kind of variable. Mm-hmm. Now, on our new building, we're hoping to have 3 classrooms of kids, but we don't get to say exactly how many kids are in there. We follow, you know, regulations like everyone does pretty carefully, and our licensor will come in and say how many children we can have in each classroom. We hope that we'll have approximately 20 kids in each classroom, and so that would bring maybe 60, but I can't tell you that for sure, and how many kids will be up to the Department of Early Learning. They come in and measure us. So, yeah, something, you kind of get the ballparks, but that's all we have too. Just, okay, it's up to them.
Thank you. I have You're a welcome. Second question before
sure.
you disappear.
Oh, I won't notice, disappear.
I noticed when I drive up years. And down 108 that there's two little school buses that sit in your parking lot.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
And most of the time they're there. When you did your planning for the parking lot, for the new parking, did you allow spaces
oh, yes.
for the school buses, or are they taking up some of those extra parkings?
Well, when the plan was measured before and after, it was done exactly the same way. So that's a good question for our parking engineer. It was all, I think they're included. I think we're going to keep them on our site as we need them. We use them to drive kids to Lakeview Elementary and two other elementary schools, so for before and after care, and the kids use them to go on field trips.
Okay, I was just trying to figure out if the parking allowance, the buses are going to take up part of that, or if the buses have their own parking allowance.
Okay, yes, thank you. I hope you feel secure.
What'd you say?
Did you get the answer that you needed?
I didn't hear anything.
Oh, okay. I think we're going to be having them parking. We'll be keeping them.
May I suggest that we hold that question until
we
have
it,
the
Elsie?
Parking or the
yes,
traffic
I'm,
engineer.
Elsie, I'm doing my best to answer
yeah.
you.
All right. Thank
I
you.
Think we'll have to defer it. All right. Thank you. Are there any other questions?
Anyone else? No?
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
All right. So, I think that would conclude our presentation, because our architects were here just to answer, little things, and so I think our presentation is then done.
Well, presumably you have someone who can answer the question on parking.
Yes, this is Chris Brown, our traffic engineer.
Okay, great.
But I just need to quickly, may I quickly confer with my team?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Help me out if I didn't get this right.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you will give in this proceeding will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Brown.
The parking that, with respect to...
First state your name for the record.
Christopher Brown. The spelling of the last name is Brown. And, of course, I'm a licensed engineer, and I wrote this particular report last
and
February.
And we have your address. It's in the record on the report, right?
It is on the report. 9688 okay. Rainier Avenue South, Seattle, 98118. And we did entirely, you might want to know, we did an entirely different parking study than was typically done, because we observed the arrivals and departures of everybody who came into the school, because I was primarily interested in how long does an individual stay when they come to collect their children. We want to know what the delay functions were. And using that is how we arrived at what the maximum capacity should be. And with respect to buses, I anticipated there were two there. And I anticipated they would be part of the regular parking demand during the day. And they would have to fit in one of the parking stalls, typically at the north end of the site where we have, I don't want to use the term garbage facilities, but waste disposal stuff. And so essentially the parking requirements or the parking volumes that we used and the capacity of the facility ultimately dictated, in my imagination, the size of the school rather than the other way around. In other words, the school was designed to fit the parking demand rather than the park demand to fit the school. So I think the parking should be adequate, and we should not have much in the way of overload facilities at all, and whatever accumulation takes place is adequately accommodated within the design of the parking facility, because it's a one-way system, one way in, one way out. Any questions at all?
Sir. Mr. Brown, I'm noticing on your plans on your exiting portion of this one-way circuit you talked about, mm-hmm. there's really no designation of left turn or right turn or right turn only.
That's correct.
Did you analyze that in your analysis with regards to peak flow times up and down 108th Avenue?
Yes, we did. And in fact, throughout the report, I think, again, somewhat unusual with a lot of traffic studies, as I'm sure the hearing examiner will recognize, we looked not only at the PM peak hour, we looked at the AM peak hour, because this is an institution where the AM peak hour tends to be predominant. And secondly, in terms of the PM peak hour at schools, they are much earlier than the typical peak hour you'd get on an arterial street where you're serving a commercial site. Schools, as you all know, tend to leave somewhat earlier in the day. At a facility such as this, the one exception are those parents whose children are there for longer than the regular school day but stretch in towards the PM peak hour, with some of them being picked up even as late as 6 o'clock at night. With respect to the design of the outward bound movement, we analyzed all of the movements, left and right turns, in terms of level of service. And if you read the report, you'll find out that both in the AM peak hour and the PM peak hour, the levels of service at worst shift by 0.5 seconds. And in fact, in terms of levels of service per se, it does not change at all, either in the AM or the PM peak hour. Then the next question I think that I could anticipate is accidents. And what we found, which is rather curious for this particular facility, is that the accident rate is about 12% of what it should be on an arterial facility of this type, according to the comparisons we made with published DOT standards, which tells me that this roadway, for reasons unknown, is an extremely safe roadway. So the conclusion I would have briefly as the traffic engineer is parking is not an issue per se. Levels of service and delay are not an issue, and accident causation and culpability certainly does not reside with the street system. It's a very straight, very safe facility. All of those assumptions, by the way, assume that the best school project is also in full operation. I made that assumption as well. So it's not based on that as a missing element. It was included as part of the worst case. Ma'am.
I have a question. I saw earlier that you had done
I think I saw earlier that you had done your traffic survey last December.
That's correct.
Okay. And since then, they have put in that left turn
divider.
And do you anticipate any, do you have any concerns about that divider that's now in front of the school? Or do you think that'll make things better even?
Usually wait for 3 years before you say, will it make things better? Because you'll have to let it settle down. My expectation is it won't change anything materially.
Okay.
And the reason I'd say that is because the levels of service are extremely well, extremely good. And the other thing that is very fortunate about this site, you have good sight distance. You have excellent visibility.
Yes. All right. Thank you.
Tony, a follow-up question for you. Would you concur with Mr. Brown's assessment based on the revisions that have been made at the 53rd intersection with the new sewer, or Rob, either of you?
Yeah, I'll pass that to Rob. Again, this is Rob Jammerman with the Public Works Department, and Tang Nguyen was not able to be here this evening, so we talked about the project today, and he did reference the C-curb that was installed and to help with the, to deter the traffic that was passing the buses when they were stopping. He did not give me any information about the left turn movements or right turn movements here being better or worse. So I can't respond to your question at this time.
Okay, thank you. All right, is anyone else going to speak on behalf of the applicant? Okay, could we get the public testimony sign-up sheet, please? Thanks. And before we get started, let me know by a show of hands who has kids at home that need to go to bed. Okay, we'll start over here. What's your name?
Jennifer
Okay, come on up. We'll go a little bit out of order.
Good for you.
So you are Jennifer and Scott Judge, is it?
Yes.
Okay, would you raise your right hands? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you will give in this proceeding will be the truth?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm Jennifer Judge, and I spelled Jennifer funny for the record. It's J-E-N-N-I, P as in Paul, H as in Henry, E-R. And my last name's Judge, J-U-D-G-E. And I live in Houghton at 11237 Northeast 58th Place in Kirkland, 98033.
Go ahead.
Okay. I want to say that I truly believe in the school, but I did take notes because I'm not a great public speaker. So feel free to tell me to slow down or hurry up.
Go ahead.
Okay. Scott and I actually started at Kirkland Children's School back in 2008, and we actually lived in Green Lake on the other side of the lake. My husband's a school district school teacher up in Kingsgate. And so we were doing the funky commute because I work downtown Seattle. And we moved to Houghton in 2009. We actually picked our house specifically based on the location of the school. It was really important to us. And we weren't sure how long we would stay at the school, but it's been 5 years. Our son's in kindergarten there, and next year he'll move on to Lakeview. We've met a ton of people in our community in Houghton through the school. We both work full-time, and so there's not a lot of time to meet people. And we've met a lot of parents through the school, which we've then seen at soccer games. We've recognized at stores in the area, and as well as church. And the school has literally helped the adults integrate into our community. The school truly cares about our community, and wants to work with the community. And at least for people who live in Houghton, and I care about Houghton deeply, I consider them part of our community. And I wanted to share that with you, because as homeowners who bought in 2008, we'll be in this community for a long time. I like change, but we chose Houghton specifically versus all the little communities on the east side because it didn't feel snooty. It felt like it was a place we could go and we could be for a long time. And it felt, I don't want a lot of change. I was the first person you probably got an email for when they talked about the things going along 68. But this is right in my backyard. I walk my son to school or we drive if it's pouring rain. But when I walk, I then get on the bus stop and I go to work downtown Seattle. And it works beautifully. I've met many parents actually at the North Star School now, who they're allowed to park there actually, unlike us, which is fine. And then we take the bus into the city. So it's become this like mecca for people to get to know one another. And I just wanted to comment on a couple things that came up was the school really integrates even with the Northwest University. Some of these teachers are interns from the school. They take the bus. I see them on the bus taking to get there so they don't have to use up the parking for the school. And I'm not talking one or two. I could name six or seven, including Spring, who manages the office. And also, I love the question that came up about some of the recent parking changes having to do with going on and off 108th, because that's a concern to me if it's me walking there trying to cross 108th, which is very busy. And I just wanted to comment that Bellevue Christian, many schools from Lake Washington School District, our school, including North Star and Emerson Revamped, there's many parents who go up and down that school and many bus drivers. And I think one reason that it's safer is because we all know it's stop and start, and it could be a dangerous place. However, I think everybody's very cognizant of the stops and starts with the actual bus system, not our bus, but the public bus. So with that said, I just wanted to express, not only we love the school, it's a great place, there's butterflies, there used to be donkeys and all that good stuff, but I think it's really great for adults in the community too. I really, really can't stress enough what a pleasure it's been for us as adults to get to meet people and hopefully make the community stronger. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have any questions? Okay.
It's a neat perspective.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, there was one person over here that said they had children that needed to go to bed. Is that person still there? Okay, come on out. We can't hear you unless you're speaking in the microphone. And what's your name?
Wayne Lucas. Wow, that's loud.
Okay, would you raise your right hand quickly? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you will give in this proceeding will be the truth?
Yes, I
do. Go ahead.
I mean, like you said, don't repeat the points, but I just want to emphasize the fact that I shopped 8 daycare or preschool before I decided to put my daughter, Lana, in Kirkland Children's School, and that's very important. And the school teacher knows our situation, special situation, and they have been very supportive. So that's about it, I want to say, and they're fantastic. So, and my daughter, yes, she was on the waiting list for 2 years. So I'm glad that they're going to expand it. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Let's see. It looks like Gary, it looks like P-O-P-Z-E-R. Is that close?
Porter.
All right. And would you and the rest of the members of the public who are here that are going to testify, please raise your right hand. Stand and raise your right hand. You don't have to get up then. All right. Either way. Do you and each of you swear or affirm that the testimony you will give in this proceeding will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Go ahead.
My name is Gary Porter. I live at 5444 106th Avenue, Kirkland. I'm the fellow that wrote about the alley. First, I want to say I'm not against the school or any of their plans for enlargement. What my concern is the alley shown on the city's plot plan that should run from 53rd through 55th. This alley could be opened and used except for two properties. It's open, you can drive a bus through it halfway through, well, one block till it hits the school. Now, how this affects this hearing, approximately 5 years ago, the school built a 6-foot-tall solid wood fence into the alley right away. It's 9 foot 3 inches into the right-of-way. My question is, does this addition now, if we approve this plan here for the school, is this property there and theirs from now on? Can they plant trees wherever they feel like in the alley? I've lived in Kirkland before, and we had an alley that went all the way through. And there's a reason for it. But I've lived here where I do now 28 years, and it's never been opened. It's been closed from the school on to 53rd. And my real question, too, is with the addition of this, you know, it's 3 lots they have for their school, 9 foot 3 inches, is that property that they've taken comply with the current setback rules of Kirkland? In other words, are they counting that from now on so they have the parking lot and the bigger school and so forth, lighting and planting trees down the alley and for privacy and so forth? My belief is that the city should request the owners to comply with the city plot plan to assure access to all properties in case of fire. Our lots, if you look at the plot plan that we have, mine is the first lot that comes all the way through. Well, half the block down there, I can use that alley. The reason it's there, I'm sure the city wanted it there in case of fire. Where I lived before, down here on 105th, it goes all the way through. The garbage trucks go down it. Any emergency vehicles go down it. where I'm living now, if I have a big garage in the back of my property, I could get to it, but they're building a lot of houses now and breaking down the lots because they're so long, and they're putting houses in behind. If there's ever a fire, they're going to have a problem getting their hoses and equipment back there to fight it because this alley is not opened. The need for this access has yet occurred, but the city has a reason for the alley. That's what I'm trying to get across. It's definitely not provided for additional property for their private use. And it's not only the school, it's at the end of the alley on 53rd. Because it wasn't used, they put up their fence and shrubs. That's all I have to say. Do I have any questions? And I didn't see my letter included in the printed up thing, was it?
It's part of the record.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Let's see. Rachel McCulloch?
I would just be repeating at this point.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Brian Gothrop?
Hello. My name is Brian Gothrop, last name is G-A-W-T-H-R-O-P, and I live at 11233 Northeast 58th Place, Kirkland.
Brian, will you pull the mic up? Thank you.
Normally people tell me to speak softer, so. I have a 22-month-old son, and my wife is due probably this week. And we actually, for our second, told the children's school before we told most of our family so we could get on the wait list. Our son is still on the wait list. And so we very much want this expansion. We feel that they have been really good in the community. Our next door neighbor actually was Jennifer Judge. And she told us about the school and the neighbor right beside her were the Rileys, and their daughter attended the school. So we really hope that this will be approved and we can get at least one of our kids in the school. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions? Okay.
Carol Walton and Bradis Walton? Bradis, okay.
Brooks Walton, 5403 108th Avenue Northeast. Carol, my wife and I have the property to the northwest of the day school property. We share a fence line that goes down between our two properties. We have a few concerns about the expansion. We're not opposed to it. They've been great neighbors over the years, but one of the things that's going to happen is they move that building into the new location. It's going to create the play area is going to become more condensed. And those kids are going to be playing predominantly right up against near our fence in the backyard, so we're concerned about the noise that might create. I do understand you're planning on planting five trees as a buffer down probably between the end of our garage and the end of the property in the northwest corner. We'd be curious to know what trees are going to be, what the spacing is going to be, how big they're going to be, and that type of thing. Paradoxically, there's some trees at the other end of the driveway coming into our property right adjacent to us. They're Leland cypress. Those trees started out maybe 6-8 feet tall. They're about 30-35 feet tall. They're going to be 100 feet tall unless we do something with them. Not only that, we went to our arborist to get their opinion on the Leland cedars, and one of the things they do is they have a huge root system which will go out across, could span our driveway and your potential parking lot. So Leland cypress are not a great choice in that, in my opinion, at least in that location for those reasons, not to mention that they're going to be huge and they will eventually knock down the fence, as a matter of fact. So one of the things we read was it was a possibility they would trim those back and try and hedge them. I believe they're probably too tall to do that now. We would prefer to see something smaller and more in scale with the landscape to be put in that area. Another issue that we've had over the years is I love the wildlife. I'm not so crazy about the raccoons. And we've had an issue in the past that the garbage containers have been accessible to wildlife, primarily raccoons and rats. And so we've had kind of a raccoon issue in our yard, and also we do see rats from time to time. This was primarily because the garbage was accessible to wildlife. They were getting in, and you could go in there and look, and the bags would be torn up and so forth. Since then, they put a metal containers with a metal top on them. Seems to work most of the time, but even now we still see rats and after hours and raccoons running down our fence line and going down toward the potential for food. So I think that's about all I have. So we want to make sure that that area for the garbage is contained and is sealed in a way that will make it safe for not only for the kids but for ourselves. And we've had some property damage due to raccoons, so we're just kind of sensitive to that. So we're in favor of the project. It looks like a beautiful project. It really does. And you guys have been great neighbors. We just want to make sure there's enough buffer on the end of our property. Kids can be quite exuberant, and we have kids ourselves, so we know what it's all about. But if we could have a bit of a buffer there, that would be great. And the Leland Cypress, if we could maybe think about replacing those with something that might be more appropriate to that space, I think that might be a good idea too. So that's all I've got. Anybody have any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheryl Hike.
I had a quick question about the trees. I wasn't real clear about whether the Leland Cypress that he spoke about were on the school property or on another neighbor's property. Sure.
Go ahead. Identify yourself again for the record, just your name.
Okay, my name is Donna Kaditz, and the Leyland Cypress are on our property, and we would be happy to change them to another kind of tree.
Tony, do you have page 21 that you could put up as an illustrative example on screen for everyone?
Right. And we have improved our food service, too. I just want to mention now that we recycle all of our food, and we don't put any food into the garbage cans anymore. We recycle, and we have metal tops on our garbage cans, and we do everything we can to keep our garbage in the garbage. And also, the dumpster on the new plans is going to be moved away from that fence line. It's going to be farther away from the property. So I think that that problem should go away as actually, or be greatly relieved as part of the plan, since the dumpster is going to be relocated and away from the fence that borders the Waltons area.
So. Where will it be moved?
In front of, more in front of our school. Not by your property either.
Oh, you. Towards the old building?
Yes. Okay, you can have that conversation off the record. Let's
All right.
move to this.
Okay, sorry.
Just wanted to point out, so the Leland Cypress, I believe they're talking about, are right here in this corner.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see.
That's not where I pictured his lot. I thought his lot was over here. Northwest corner.
We'd like to know what those trees are going to
be. You normally would do that at another time, but if you want to do it now... Since you're there.
Well, there's a lot of flexibility on what type of trees. They either have to be, I believe, 2 inches in caliber, deciduous, or 6 foot height conifers. But the applicant has the flexibility. They could work with the neighboring property owners to figure out what trees work best. And typically our spacing is 10 feet, but we just want to have an arborist take a look and make sure that they're going to, because there are so many existing big trees there. We just want to make sure they're in a good area. Where they're going to survive. So.
So part of the concern would be the lighting.
Yes, I guess the question was, it was addressed in their letter too, regarding lighting. The applicant will have to submit a detailed lighting plan to ensure that light does not go on to neighboring properties. They'll be shielded, that kind of thing. So.
Okay. The next person on the list is Spring. Oh, I'm sorry.
If I may, Tony.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just a little bit confused on Mr. and Mrs. Brooks' property. I understood it was the northwest corner, not the north lot.
It is the northwest corner. There are two lots on the north side of the property. One fronts on 108, the other one fronts on the alley.
I got it. Thank you. So the lot directly to the north is broken into two parcels.
Correct.
Thank you.
Question
yeah.
about the lighting since it came up.
Sure. Tony, on the lighting, so is, or maybe Donna, the school closes for the night, but is the is light in the parking lot kept on all night?
I think like 2 a.m.
or
something like that.
Donna, we need to.
Sorry.
We don't need the parking lot lit when we're not there. Really, the most important part is that we want to have safe lighting for our kids, as we've got like little kids walking through the parking lot. In the summer, wouldn't really need to be on so much, but during the winter and in those early mornings, it needs to be on. And mm-hmm. we're the lighting can be arranged in a variety of ways, okay. and we could it could certainly go off. The question would be, does the neighborhood want to have? There are some advantages to having some light around. Mm-hmm. We have once in. I know some cars have been vandalized in the neighborhood, and I don't know if that's a one-time thing or not. But we can be very flexible on that. You know, lights can go off on timers. We would want the light on in the parking lot until like the last teacher left, because we don't want any of our staff having to walk across a dark parking lot on a November evening. But usually everyone's gone by 7 p.m. and we're closed on the weekends.
Thank you. Thank you. The next person is Rasik. It looks like Rifat. And now that I've done that, why don't you tell us what your name is?
Sure. My name is Rasik Rifat. The last name is spelled R-I-F as in Frank, A-A-T. The first name is R-A, S as in Sam, E-K-H. My address is 5430 106 Avenue, Northeast. Just to echo quickly the comments, I have two children at the school for the last 2 years. And last year, my wife and I bought the property behind the school and built a house there. So we're actually Gary's neighbors. We're right on the alley as well. So I just want to say that I guess I respectfully disagree with Gary regarding the alley access. The alley access for us through to 55th Avenue is actually very useful, and we're very happy that it's opened. But the school being where it is, we aren't really affected by them taking back from the alley. From my understanding, there aren't any buildings there. I think you should probably ask them, but I believe they could, if the city required, take back their alley. At the moment, though, the alley isn't even drivable past my lot. From my lot to 55th, it's very accessible and very drivable. Past that, it's just not maintained. There are trees in the alley, and so there's it's very difficult to get vehicular traffic. Only very occasionally do I see my neighbors use it. And then just to say again about the capacity for the school, I actually also work here in Kirkland at Google, and I'm often recommending the school, and again, the wait list is very difficult for a lot of my colleagues who want to have very good daycare and preschool care in the area. So if there are any questions for me, as the property owner behind, I love the school, and it was a huge plus to be very close to it and to be able to live very close to it.
So I understand your property now. It's possible to access the alley from your property?
So from 55th, sure, that's a great idea. So this is my property here, and the one above it is Gary's. Mine is this one in the back here.
And so you do have alley access to your property?
I do. We put up a gate as part of our building so that the kids couldn't run into the alley and run out the side, but it's openable and we can drive out and drive up to 55 without any problem. And our neighbor across the alley, like two lots north, parks his boats at the back of his property and is able to bring in his two boats all the way back to his property through the alley.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The next person was Spring Vitus, but I assume that you are part of the team, right? Okay. Gary Britton Simmons.
I'm Gary Britton Simmons, G-E-A-R-Y, B-R-I-T-T-O-N hyphen S-I-M-M-O-N-S. I live actually in the Snoqualmie Valley, 16712 219th place with a Monroe address. I'm involved with the local East Side Audubon. I run the plant sale that was referred to earlier, and I can testify, confirm that the school is very involved with the East Side Audubon in supporting East Side Audubon's work with in educating the community with respect to the importance of our environment. And we do conduct our plant sale at the school every year without charge by the school, and they've been extremely supportive of us, which is a big help to our organization, which is serving the Kirkland and the General East Side community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Sacha Bailey.
Hello. I'm Sacha Bailey. I'm not going to speak very long. I was just going to tell you I have two children there at the school. My son is 5 and he is in kindergarten with Jennifer Judge's little son. My son's been there since he was 1. My daughter started, she's 2.5 now. She started there long after she turned 1 because she was on a waiting list from the time I first became pregnant. So there is definitely a need. I refer anybody that I know to the school because we have, my son for the first year was in not a great daycare situation. There was a lot of turnover, and one thing I don't think anybody's said yet is that a lot of the staff has been there a really long time, and if you know anything about daycares, it's almost impossible to keep people where they are. You have so much turnover and you never know what you're getting. So Rachel does an awesome job of screening, which is you know, as a parent, it's huge. When I'm at work 9 to 10 hours a day, so, you know, pretty important who's with my children. Cheryl's been there for 26 years. We love Cheryl. So we're happy that she's been there for 26 years. But I think that's really important because it's not something you typically see. So it is something that's additionally that's special about this school. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gregory Wall.
My name is Greg Wall. My address is 13259 124th Court Northeast in Kirkland. And a lot of what I wanted to say would be repetitive enthusiastically to what has already been said. But one thing I don't think that's been really keyed on is something that Donna really did talk about was the integration of nature in the school and in the curriculum. And as you all know, as you drive by that school, there's trees, and then all of a sudden, tucked away, there's this cute, beautiful little school surrounded by huge conifers and play areas that are covered so that on days like today, our kids can play outside, which is ensures our sanity through the 6 months of rain. It's that greenery, and I was really excited when I saw the initial plans talking about rain gardens and nature and plants and flowers in the middle of the city. And granted, we're blessed with a very green city and a lot of greenscape, but allowing, you know, knowing that my kids are at school, but they're also learning about plants, and my son's discovering his friend the spider outside of the front door of the school every day. You know, that's just, it makes it an extra special place. And like somebody else mentioned, you know, I want all my friends to bring their kids here because it's such an awesome school, but, you know, that's just not possible, and I understand that. We can't solve that here, but, you know, I just think giving the possibility for more children to be exposed to that, especially in the Houghton Kirkland communities, would be a great addition to our city and community here. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, that was the last name on the list. Is there anyone else here who is a member of the public who would like to testify? Come on up. Can you give us your name, please?
Sure. My name is Eric Sinn, S-Y-N-N. My address is 10906 Northeast 39th Place. That's actually in Bellevue, 98004. It's on the tail end of Houghton. Our fence property literally is the Kirkland-Bellevue line. If I cross our fence, I'm actually in Kirkland.
Okay, and you said your first name's Eric?
Eric.
Thank mm-hmm. you.
And I actually have two children, who's actually gone through KCS and now attends Lakeview Elementary. And my youngest daughter actually is still a student. The points that I've heard, I've actually touched upon basically two main things. One is the value that KCS brings to the actual the Houghton neighborhood. And then also a common theme seems to be the fact that there's a large wait list because people recognize that value. I actually have the perspective of having a child in the Kirkland public school system, the Lake Washington public school system. And the one thing that I'd like to clarify is right now we actually were lucky enough to enter into a lottery system and actually gain full day kindergarten. And right now we have, I think on average, there are 3 full-day kindergartens at Lakeview Elementary with a class size of approximately 22 to 26 individuals. What that shows me is that there is a need to be able to meet the basic necessity of early childhood care. And with 2 developments that are currently being developed and actually in the stages of completion from CAM West, the one that's actually outside of Metropolitan Market, as well as the one that runs State Street. We're making an assumption that a large number of those will actually be, they're family-oriented buildings. Assuming that 10% of those actually come into the kindergarten system, we're talking, again, another increase not only in class size for kindergarten, but basically the potential for a number of people to not actually have the ability to provide full-day childcare. What this new plan does is it not only speaks to basically the quality of education that our children and care that are getting, but it also answers a need. I think that you've kind of heard just kind of cursory, basically the wait list, 18 months to a year. Obviously, there's a need that people have, and just basically having my child within the public school system, I see the other side where basically I'd rather be able to offer, have everyone at least have an alternative versus larger class sizes. And I think that's just a point that needs to be clarified. Is there any questions?
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, there's already been a little bit of response by the department. Mr. Levitt and or, who all wants to speak on behalf of the department with respect to questions that have been asked?
Okay. I can speak regarding a couple of issues that were brought up. The first one was regarding where setbacks are measured from. If you actually look at sheet 21 of the packet, I'm sorry, 23 of the packet, it actually shows the setbacks, and those are measured from the property line. They're not measured from the center valley. So everything is based on their existing property, including the lot area. So does the alley is not included in any of those calculations or the setbacks or anything like that. So And then just regarding the Leland Cypress on the north property line, those are proposed to be retained. Their arborist concluded that they could be retained through development. However, more than likely they weren't reviewed as a potential nuisance. It sounds like that may be the case, especially if the roots grow onto the neighboring property, that could be a potential nuisance. So that could be further evaluated by their arborist at a later time. And if they are concluded to be a nuisance, they could be removed and replaced with new trees.
Mr. Jammerman, do you want to respond any further about the use of the alley, the questions that were raised there?
I don't have anything more to add other than what I said earlier, that it's an unopened alley and it can be used by the adjacent property owners until such time as it's open for public transportation or utility use.
And there's no adverse possession against a public entity?
That's correct. Okay.
So, Rob, would you speak just a little bit about that, the city opening the alley in the future with respect to existing trees planted within the alley right-of-way and the possibility of future plantings or volunteer plants propagating within the right-of-way?
I looked at the landscape plan. There aren't any plants shown to be put there. If we receive a complaint from the neighborhood or if somebody notices trees being planted there, we would address that with the property owner. Or if the alley is ever opened in the future, the trees would have to be removed if they put them there. So at this point, it doesn't appear that any trees plan to be put there.
A lot of dead ends. Sue, can I ask a
question? Sure, go ahead.
I think, Tony, I think you would have to answer this. Was the extra 9 feet, like the gentleman was talking about, used to figure their square footage and things for their building?
No, not at all. That was their lot area. The lot area that's shown on the plans, the setbacks, all that do not all include right. The alley. And, it's just their existing property line.
It wouldn't, if that fence came back
mm-hmm.
to their property line, would it interfere with anything?
I don't think so, no.
Thank you.
Anything further from the department?
Okay. I did have one question looking at the sheet 23.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If that the far left dashed line that goes up and down, if that is the property line, there's an existing shed that's shown that looks like it's actually touching that property line.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't that need at least a small setback?
I don't know as far as that would be a building code issue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not privy to talk about what mm-hmm. code requirements. I mean, worst case scenario, yeah, that.
I think the setbacks are definitely planning, not building.
Mm-hmm. No, as far as we've got an existing nonconformance. So that shed would be considered
part existing of the existing nonconformance.
And mm-hmm. so whether or not that property line exists today, so. That's where the property line is. So it's a non-conforming structure as far as setback is concerned. If the fence gets moved, it doesn't matter because that property line's there.
So the fence would be moved right up next to the shed, and that would be okay?
Yeah.
As long as the alley was...
And that's what I'm talking about, John, right. as far as...
Clearly none of the buildings being proposed are anywhere close to being correct. Infringing on the setbacks.
The nearest building is over 50, well, from that yeah. property line, it's, I don't have the exact number, but it's probably about 70 feet, yeah. feet at least.
It's well back.
Okay, anything further from the applicant? Okay. All right. With that, we'll close the hearing then. Thank you.
Wait. You can't
have conversation
with us. Here, just a minute.
You guys feel a need for a little recess? Okay, let's take a 3-minute recess and start up at 8:25.
There's my phone number.
Okay.